church, it's great to see you. I am very loud. Let me say, first of all, to those who are in the pews and those who are joining us virtually, welcome. As Justin has already welcomed us all, it is great to see you today, and it's also great to know that we still have the opportunity to worship, even if you're unable to be with us. I do want to say, though, I do think I had a couple messages along the way. I do think we're having a few technical issues, and it's not on our end. We really do not know the reason behind that. I know there were some audio issues this morning in Bible class, but I will say the guys are on it and they're working hard. So those of you who are watching, please know that we're doing the best we can. And so sorry about that. But to those of us who are able to hear and such, it's been a blessing already to be here. I will say that it is weird times, no doubt about it. Unique, crazy, bizarre times. However, to be able to be here, to know that I can look and I can see folks, and if you are watching virtually, check in and let us know so we can have a record of you tuning in to us. But to see our children go, our teenagers were able to meet together this morning. A lot of great things are happening, even though there are some very, very bizarre times. And so I do want you to know that it's bizarre because of what's going on in our country with the virus. We know that. But it's also bizarre because what's going on with racial things that are happening all around us. And in a show of unity, we certainly want to encourage everybody that can to go to the Chickasaw Church tonight. And Justin, I did not have my glasses on. Is it 5 or 6? At 6 p.m., they're going to have an outside service. I do not think it's going to rain, but I guess weather permitting, they'll still be outside. But maybe you'll be in the vehicles then. But we certainly want to encourage those in a show of unity from all of our brothers and sisters. No matter what color we are, we're all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for that. But I will say, Roadrunners, if you are used to tuning in to me tonight, I'm going to be going to that service. So I will not, if you guys want to still have your Roadrunners class, I'll be able to help set up Zoom, but I will not be teaching that class tonight. But thank you all for being here. Again, I'm very excited. Even though times are bizarre, I'm very excited to know that we can still worship. No matter what, we have an obligation to our God to worship Him. And my prayer is that we're going to continue to worship in spirit and in truth. But have you ever heard the statement, or have you ever made the statement to some child or to someone, you are out of control? Or someone ever said that to you, you are out of control? I know I've probably said it and had it said to me. And if we could all in unison say it to 2020, 2020 is out of control, right? And so what we need to understand today is it really is a crossroads, I believe, not for the church, but just for us in humanity. The church is always going to exist. We know that. The gates of hell can't beat the church, folks. So I don't care what the country or society or the world says, the church is always going to exist. But humanity seems to be facing some crossroads. And my mission now, okay, I do not want to belittle anyone's concern, and I have concerns over the virus as well. But I want to belittle anyone's concerns over this. But concerns and fear have to be two different things. Okay? Like I said last week, you know, I used the King Cobra illustration. There need to be concerns, but we can't let fear paralyze us and keep us away. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can all get wrapped up in turning on the news or turning to our favorite internet site or news site or whatever it may be. Or now you get direct notifications from whatever company or place you're following or turning in Twitter or tuning in Twitter or whatever it may be. We get so consumed with everything going on, we can allow those things to control us. Today, I want to make it very clear. There is only one being that should be controlling us, and that is Jesus Christ. We need to allow the captain of the ship to steer the ship. And so today, no matter what 2020 continues to throw at us, no matter what society, no matter what the devil continues to throw at us, my prayer is that we will all surrender control of ourselves, surrender control of what's controlling us, surrender control of anything besides Jesus Christ. We will surrender that today to the cross of our Lord. And we will allow Him to control us. What do all of these have in common? Those of you who may not know, I'm dating myself probably. The Tasmanian Devil was a Looney Tunes character. I don't even know if Looney Tunes still exists. But it was something I grew up on. And he was always in a tornado like that, out of control, spinning out of control. The Incredible Hulk, of course, when he was Bruce Banner, he was in control. But when he lost that control, he turned into the Incredible Hulk. Well, the third one's a mirror. Okay? As we look into the mirror today, are we like those made-up characters? Have we lost control? Are we in control of self, or is something else in control of self? That's the question I think we need to ask as we face the strangest times ever. Do we have the things in common that they do? Have we lost total control? I want you to know we cannot control this life ourselves. We talk about having self-control, but we can't let self control self. Okay? Let me say that again. We talk about having self-control, but we cannot allow self to control self. And so, with that, I want you to know we can't do this on our own. In fact, where Bill read to us from where we're going today, in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Isn't that a beautiful reading? Isn't that a beautiful question? Let me remind you of who wrote Romans chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 25. Paul wrote Romans. The Apostle Paul, who at one time thought he had it all figured out. He thought he had religion figured out. And as religion goes, he had it figured out, right? He understood the law. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, okay? He had a portfolio, if you will, that you couldn't even argue with. He was good at what he did, but he was only religious. He was not spiritual. He was still allowing things that he knew to control him. But Jesus said, that's not the way it's going to be. You see, Ananias, he's a chosen vessel of mine. I handpicked him. And he's going to bear my name before kings and other rulers and the Gentiles. And so what did Paul do? Paul saw the light. Paul surrendered control of everything he knew. If he could tune into some website today, he would have heard how great the law is and how awesome it is. And you should not listen to this Jesus Christ character. And you should not listen to Christianity. And you should bow down to only the law. And if he could turn into his Jewish religious channel, that's what he would have heard. But he didn't allow that to control him. He surrendered control. He surrendered his life. And he became probably the second greatest soul winner, save Jesus Christ, to ever walk this earth. But here's what he said about self-control in Romans 7, verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know there were a lot of words, will, in there, but let me sum up what Paul just said. As long as you allow something besides Jesus Christ to control you, you will continue to struggle. You will continue to live in fear. You will continue to walk in a place that you don't want to walk. As long as we allow other things besides Jesus Christ to control us, we will be captive to those other things. But when we release the captivity, when we, again, Jesus undid the chains, when we allow ourselves to let go of those chains and hold on to Jesus Christ, then and only then will we be free. You see, we're not free if we're captive. And when we allow fear and we allow other things and what goes on around us, and again, we're bombarded with it, we're engulfed with it, we're galvanized with it, it's all around us. When we allow those things to take us captive, you know how we say what we say about ourselves? I'm a wretched man. That's what we feel. Oh, wretched man that I am. But Paul said, Jesus Christ delivered us. He delivered you and He delivered me. Who's controlling us today? How is our walk today? Are we able to lose control of ourselves, give up control, surrender control? Are we willing to walk in the Spirit? Are we willing to allow our minds, our hearts, our lives to be centered around Jesus Christ? These are all important questions. And I pray that these next 3 points will help us very simply and very powerfully understand what it means to let go and let God. Number one, if I want to surrender control of what is in captive, has captivated me, and has it captured me, then the first thing I've got to do is confront self. Go back to the Tasmanian devil, go back to the Hulk, and go back to that third picture. There was a mirror. I wish I could have really put a mirror up there, right? And that you could see in and I could see in. If when it comes down to surrendering control of fear, surrendering control of things that have kept me captive, then I've got to confront the person in the mirror. I've got to look at myself and face where I am. Let's face it. Some things that aren't good are fun to do. At least they feel good for a little while. That's what sin is, right? Sin is at least fun or feels good for a little while, or we wouldn't do it. You know, those kinds of things, those kinds of struggles are hard. And in a silly way, I'm going to illustrate that to you. First of all, it's like chocolate on a no-carb diet, right? You justify, well, dark chocolate's okay. But that's how the struggle is. The struggle is real. Or it's that sweet tea when you're trying to cut out sugar. Or it's bed when the alarm clock just keeps going off. Whatever it is, the reality is this when it comes to our spiritual walks. Those other things are minute. This really matters. Are we willing to give up hell to go to heaven? You see, I know that seems like a no-brainer. But if I'm not careful, I will allow the things around me to consume me. You see, that's what the devil wants nothing more. He wants nothing more. And again, the church will not ever be defeated, and He knows that. But some local churches could be. The church as a whole will never be defeated, but some local churches would be. He wants nothing more than for us to keep these tape on our... And again, I'm not talking about... Okay, I believe in caution. But He wants nothing more for us to keep these tape on these pews, to make sure we always have to wear masks, or better yet, to not ever come at all. He wants nothing more than to mess up our virtual stream. So those of you who are taking caution and can't be here, you're not able to worship today. He wants nothing more than to shut the doors of the Azalea City Church of Christ and every local church He can. You see, but if we're not careful, we allow the things around us to consume us and to capture us. But folks, this world's not our home. This temporal is not eternal. And we've got to set our minds, as I said last week, on things above. You see, sin is hard to put down, but it's devastating if we don't put it down. Alcoholics Anonymous is a great organization. It has helped many people fight alcoholism. It has helped many addicts who struggle with putting the bottle down. It's helped them understand and cope and be able to overcome this horrible addiction. There's a 12-step process that those alcoholics go through when they meet for Alcoholics Anonymous. But the overall motto to those 12 steps is simply this: we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I'm telling you right now, addiction is real. Okay? Your addiction today may not be alcohol, but it could be checking the numbers of cases of coronavirus every single day. It could be what is, again, I'm not talking about being cautious, please hear me out, but that could be our addiction. It could be going to Twitter and seeing how miserable some people are with one color and others are with the other color. It could be being able to bash the President of the United States, or it could be being able to bash those who bash the President of the United States. If we're not careful, those things will captivate us, they will capture us, and we will lose control. I'm here to tell you today, the first thing we've got to do, if that's us, is admit that's us. We got to confront ourselves, Adam and Eve. I know I've heard it for years be said in a joking way, probably in a serious way. Well, it was Eve who sinned first, but both of them ate, folks. Both of them ate, right? Eve ate the tree of the tree. Adam ate of the tree. They both realized they were naked. They both clothed themselves. They both hid. And then you know what they both did? They blamed. They blamed others. They would not take responsibility for what they did themselves. And if we're not careful, that will be us. Paul wanted to do the good things in life. Romans 7:19. But listen to Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Flesh and spirit cannot dwell in harmony. You see that? Darkness and light do not dwell in harmony together. When I surrender myself, then I'm not in the flesh anymore. I'm in the Spirit. But when I surrender the Spirit and I walk back in the flesh, and it may be innocent, I may think I'm doing good things, then I've lost control. Worse than that, Jesus Christ has lost control. Now listen, nothing will pluck us out of His hands, but we can let go of His hand anytime. But as long as we walk with Him, nothing can pluck us out of His hands. But we've got to remember Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. The things that have engulfed us, have enslaved us, He set us free from. So guess what we need to do today? Walk free. We are free in Christ, so we must surrender control of ourselves. We are the only ones standing in our own way. Confront self. Surrender self. Number two, it's a tough one. We got to crucify ourselves. Unfortunately, you know what we do instead of confronting self and crucify self? Sometimes we coddle self. We throw a pity party. We feel sorry because we don't have this or we don't have that. We feel sorry because everything out there is against me. Everything out there is this and everything out there is that. And the world is not harmonious and things like that. By the way, Mike Huckabee, and I don't know that I would agree with everything spiritually Mike Huckabee says, okay? But I agree with a lot of it. And last night I heard him say this. We cannot live in harmony in this country or this world unless we live in Jesus Christ. And that's as real as it can be, folks. We can sit there and get so wrapped up in society and culture and everything else, cancel culture and all this stuff. We can get so wrapped up in it. And we can say, yes, our country's not perfect and our this is not that and our blah, blah, blah. But it all boils down to, are we in the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, that's where true harmony is. So instead of feeling sorry for ourselves and throwing pity parties, we got to confront self and then we got to crucify self. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, after we have a talk with ourselves and we conclude that it's time to give up self, then we need to head to the cross. That's what we've got to do. Paul said it this way, Galatians 2, verse 20. You probably know that verse, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me dissect this verse quickly for you. First of all, it starts with I. Do you hear what Paul said in that verse? I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me, but I can do it for me and you can do it for you. I. That's what it starts with. Then he says crucified with Christ. I don't have time, but sometimes study Romans 6, 1 through 4. You know what Paul said there? He said that we were buried with Christ in baptism. We put to death the old man and were raised to walk in newness of life. That's being crucified with Christ. We go to the cross with Him. We give up self. We bury self. We raise self. And we're new. We belong to Jesus. Then secondly, He said, it's no longer I. If you keep reading in Romans 6, 5 through 11, He talks a lot about that. So go back and study that in Romans 6. And then thirdly, in that, it says, Christ gave Himself for me. Romans 6, 5 through 11. Here's the test for all of us right now. In my life, you need to ask yourself this. Again, confront self, crucify self. Is Christ on the throne and self on the cross? Or is self on the throne and Christ on the cross? In my life, is self dead to sin and surrender to the Savior? Or is the Savior dead to self and self surrendered to self? God didn't ask Adam alone. He didn't ask Eve alone. He asked the both of them, where are you? Where are we? Are we on our thrones? Are we on the cross? Finally, Once we confront self, once we crucify self, that means we've surrendered self. We allow Him to control self. The Greek word there, talking about self-control, literally means one who masters or dominates his desires and passions. Are we mastering those things? We can't do it alone. Are we dominating our desires and passions, or are they mastering us? Is society mastering us? Is 2020 mastering us? Is fear mastering us? Is depression, those kinds of things, we get so wrapped up in it, is that mastering us, or are we seeking to surrender all that? You see, Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, that verse reminds me that surrendering self is not just a thought. It's an action. Did you hear that? If we live in the Spirit, that's not a thought. We also walk in the Spirit, that's not a thought. That means I've got to be busy. I've got to do. I can't sit and just allow it to magically wash over me and, wow, now everything's good and I'm holy. That's not the way it works, folks. It takes action on my part. It takes action on your part. You see, it's a new attitude. It's a new outlook. It's a new life. It's a new walk. It's a daily walk that is guided by our Heavenly Father. You know what will happen when I surrender myself? That means I confront myself. I crucify myself. I control myself. Allow Him to control me. You know what will happen? My wife, my husband, they will take notice. You know that? You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better husband. Your children will take notice. Our friends will take notice. Our boss will take notice. Our co-workers, our neighbors, they'll all take notice. We'll put the grocery carts back up, right? I heard that this morning. You know what people say? Hey, that Terry Cagle? Man, that's Terry Cagle right there. You know what? He's not the guy he used to be. What's different in Terry Cagle? Well, that would be Jesus Christ. It means I'm no longer mastered by my passions. In fact, my passion is now the master. As I close, I want you to hear the words to this song as we strive to let go and let God. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul. I give to You. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. I surrender my life into Your hands. Nothing less is what my soul demands. Only You can satisfy my soul. Oh, my Jesus, come, take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to You. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. Surrender it right now as together we stand and sing.